Want to preach to you tonight about choices. Choices. And for our scriptural background, I'd invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. We'll read together the 14th and the 15th verses. Joshua 24. 14 and 15. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we have made a choice. We will at all cost, under any circumstances, we will serve the Lord. Father, we believe you want to speak to us tonight. You want to do something for us. So we ask that just now, through the miracle of preaching, where you take the words of a man and anoint them with the power of thy Holy Spirit and speed them forth to their intended target and minister to individual souls according to their needs. Oh, we pray that the miracle would happen this night. You would do your promised office work. And we will learn divine truth through the power of your presence in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It has been said that every man has his price. No matter who it is or how good he is or how strong a person he is, somehow, some way you can get to him. He can be had if the price is right. And the years have attested this maxim to be frequently too true. Many stories of treason and treachery for the sake of money or position have come to us down through the years. I remember as a kid watching the $64,000 question. My mind as I was going through school was absolutely boggled by these who could stand there in that little cube. You remember they put them in that little cube so they would be safe from all interference, so no one could give them any answers, and so it would be absolutely a pure experiment in the exercise of intelligence. What they didn't tell us was before they ever went in the little cubicle, they had already had all the information and knew all the answers. I can remember them standing there perspiring and racking their brain, trying. To remember, I guess they were trying to remember the answers that they studiously memorized before they ever got in there. The $64,000 ripoff. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. How refreshing it was to me, struggling through school when the truth was finally told. I knew nobody could be that smart. I certainly knew I wasn't. It was a relief. But it was also disturbing to think that men would sell their integrity for dollars. How was I to know that down through the years we would see it happen again and again, and then the ultimate would happen. We would see those in high places, in lofty realms of power, sell out. They had a price. Power was their god. They would do anything to preserve it. Every man has his price. Oh, it's conceivable. It's conceivable that many times this might be true. But I'm glad to be able to tell you tonight it's not universally true. For the scripture tells us of those who underwent torture and privation because they wouldn't sell out. There are some who will stand. There are some who see things for their true worth. They can't be bought at any price. And tonight, friends of mine, life affords you the choice. You can either be among those who sell out for every new wind that blows along, or you can make a choice to be among those who have made their choice forever, who will say with Joshua of old, "You all may choose the God you want to serve. But as for me and my house, we have made our choice forever, and we will serve the Lord." Now, tonight, life does afford every man the opportunity of making many choices. You have to make a choice as to what school you will attend. And may I say to those of you who have chosen to attend Mid-America Nazarene College, how very wise you have been. Oh, I say it, and of course you would expect me to, for I have poured out these years of my life in the interest of our campus and community. I believe in this college and what it stands for. I believe it with my life. But you were wiser than you knew to choose a school where, as one said so eloquently this morning, though you could have gone to a state school and may have paid less money to do so, when you get down and you're in a jam and you need help and you don't know where to turn, in a state school, it might not be considered appropriate for you to go to your professor and ask him to have prayer with you. But at Mid-America Nazarene College, that would be entirely appropriate. For this faculty knows God. This faculty has not only the goal in mind of helping you to receive the best academic preparation possible, but one day along the line, they made another choice. Not only interested in academic excellence, they made a choice that said, we are going to serve the Lord, and we are going to give our lives that the young people across the church might have an opportunity to have a liberal arts education in an atmosphere where God is revered, where prayer is the common order of the day, and where young people can make the choices that will keep them in the center of God's will all their days. Yes, many choices to make. Many of you have chosen a Christian college. Other choices, the choice of a job. You somewhere along the line have to choose the job you're going to have for life. It's an important choice, one you ought to make carefully. And many young people seem to have the idea that there's nothing they can do unless God hits them upside the head and gives them some special cataclysmic experience and tells them what to do. May I comfort you tonight, my young friend, to say to you, what do you want to do in life? Oh, perhaps God has, in a wonderful way, placed his hand upon your life and has called you to be his preacher, has called you to be his evangelist, his teacher. He may have called you in a special way for special service. And I can't think of a more wonderful thing that could happen to a young life than for the great God of the universe to lean down and anoint that life and touch that life and call you to special service. I can't think of anything greater than that. But it doesn't always happen that way. For God calls many to be fine, wonderful, faithful laymen who have entrees and the opportunities to do things that those who are called to special service may never have the opportunity to accomplish. But you say tonight, I don't know what God wants me to do. What do you want to do? Did you ever stop to think that that thing that you want to do may be the very thing God wants you to do? Down through the years, some of us have developed kind of a complex, I think, feeling that surely God wouldn't want me to do anything that was fun or anything I wanted to do. God kind of hides behind the cloud, waiting for us to decide what we'd really like to do in life. And when we've decided what we really want to do in life, he comes along and says, no, that's the one thing you can't do. What's the thing you really don't want to do, son, daughter? I see, good, that's what I want you to do. Now, that's not the God I serve. That's not the God I serve. Oh, it is true. There may be conflict in your intentions. There may be something you want to do, but at the same time, you know there is something else God wants you to do. Well, may I set your heart and mind at rest. If there is something God wants you to do tonight, don't worry about it. It's what you really want to do as well. It's what you're going to have the greatest time doing. Believe me tonight. God puts his hand upon you and calls you to special service, not to give you a miserable life, but to give you the happiest life possible. And he knows what you're best suited for. He knows where you're going to fit in best. You may think you know. You really don't know. But he does know. So yield yourself to him willingly and gladly. Say, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I will do. But to those of you who never receive this kind of specific direction, what do you want to do? Perhaps that's the thing God has put in your heart to help you do his perfect will. Choices. Choice of a school. Choice of a job. Choice of a wife. Choice of a husband. Oh, choose carefully. Choose carefully. I sometimes wondered years ago what book it was that preachers bought that told them all the experiences of life that they seemed to share from the pulpit. Whatever book that was, I wanted to buy it. But now, these years in ministry have taught me that each man fills the pages of his own book in a very short time in dealing with people. And how many broken homes and broken lives we've had to deal with along the journey. Simply because young people did not choose carefully and prayerfully the one that was to share their life with them. Choices. All kinds of choices to make in life. In the kind of day in which we live, we find ourselves having more choices, perhaps, than we care to make. So many variables, so many alternatives, so many possibilities. It can be confusing. When my wife makes me go to the grocery store, I just come home exhausted, trying to find the biggest, most solid head of lettuce. Now, that isn't something you just do quickly. You've got to compare them, squeeze them. You have to try to find the largest cucumbers, the leanest hamburger. A task which is no small task anymore, since they now put plastic around them that you can't see through. A little harder to check out how lean it is. Butcher resents it when you take out your penknife and open the package. Exhausting. Choices, so many. But there comes the time in your life when your choice is crystal clear. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Nothing really confusing about that. No. That choice is crystal clear. time comes to choose your life's master. The awesome choice is all yours. When I think of people choosing, I am always prone to think of those brothers, Jacob and Esau. And I think of foolish Esau coming in and selling his birthright, his claim to wealth, his claim to position, his claim to be head of the family and all that. I think of him selling that for one probably poorly prepared meal. I think the reason he did it was because the consequences seemed a long way off. What difference did it make? But as we read the Word of God, we recognize that he lived to regret that day. Seemed a long way off, rather unimportant at the time, but the time came when it was all important. Then it was too late. Esau sold cheaply and much too soon. Simple case of giving in to physical desire. He was hungry. He let his senses dominate his judgment. Not a wise thing to do. But we live in an atmosphere. We live in a day when it is the common thing for senses to dominate judgment. Many today are selling out for this reason. That alcoholic, that drug addict, that one involved in one illicit affair after the other. They're hungry. They seek to satisfy their hunger by feeding their senses. It doesn't work. Esau made a choice, and he lived a life of regret. His brother Jacob also had a choice. He chose deceit. I'll not take time tonight to tell you the story, but as a result of his deceit, his trickery, he lived a part of his life, a fearful man, feeling that his brother Esau, if he had the chance, would surely kill him. Terrible thing to live your life hunted and haunted. I worked for a company during seminary days. One of our employees one day gained a little notoriety that he hadn't planned on. The owner of our company was reading a trade magazine. And he saw a wanted poster in there. Though there was a different name, the poster contained the picture of a man we'll call Bill Smith, who was there working for our company. Come to find out, he'd gone from city to city, from state to state, plying his little confidence game. We talked with him. We dealt with him. We tried to lead him to God. And he made an honest and sincere move to God. But there were so many hunting him. I remember going to his house one day and seeing off in the trees close by his shadow as he moved between the trees. He'd heard a car drive up and went out the back door to hide in the woods. It was his common practice when anyone came to his home. For he never knew if it was one of his old enemies or the police who were hunting him down from some past crime. He served time, he was out. Back in to serve time, out again. The thing I want you to understand is this. He had a choice to make. And tonight he lives with that choice, never knowing a moment's peace of mind. He made a choice. He chose deceit. He chose trickery. He's paid the price. Jacob, the Bible tells us, had a second chance. He was perhaps sick and tired of running, tired of his deceit and treachery. He begged for God's mercy, and they had an amazing divine confrontation. Jacob said that he would not let this divine representative go until he had blessed him, until he had seen his face, until he had broken through and knew that within his heart he had made a new choice, and that to go with God and to be God's man, whatever the cost. And God blessed him for it. Choices. Choices. The Bible is full of choices. Peter chose, and consequently he gloried in Christ. Judas chose, and consequently died in sin. And I would say to you tonight, my friend, consider the consequences of your choice. Remember that it affects more than just you. For as you read the story of Jacob, you find that his whole family lived in continual upheaval because of his failure to choose correctly. I held a funeral one day for a man who did not go to church, for a man that did not raise his children in the ways of God. He made a choice. That he would leave the church and all of this to the religious people, and he would go his own way. He was not an old man when he died. He still had small children at home, and I stood there in that funeral home helpless as I saw those children looking at that casket. Dad was gone, and what had he left them? His choice, you see, affected the whole family. He said, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to live my life as I want to live it. But he didn't take into account the fact he had a responsibility as a father to make a choice that would help not only himself to discover the joys of heaven, but a choice to make that would involve his family. They would suffer or enjoy the consequences of his choice, depending what his choice might be. Paul chose. He was busy in religious work, zealous, devastatingly efficient, all in the wrong direction. He hadn't stopped long enough to see if God was in his choice. He never asked him. But the good news is, when he was confronted with the real Christ, Paul made the right decision. He chose correctly. And tonight, friend of mine, you are being confronted with the real Christ. Whether you have chosen physical gratification like Esau, whether self-gratification like Jacob, or whether your own way and your own plan like Paul, no matter what your choice has been, I say with Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. For it is your choice that you'll have to answer for. Whom do you choose tonight? The giver of all truly good things and everlasting salvation, or the great deceiver, the bringer of death? The choice should be easy, but the devil makes it his business to make it a difficult thing to do. Regardless of the seeming difficulties involved, I implore you, I admonish you to choose Christ tonight, for the years have attested to the fact his way is the best way. Don't sell out to Satan. Don't let him buy you with his lies. Choose Christ tonight. This message has weighed heavily upon me. for this reason. Just this week, there was a word from the past. It is no secret that Chuck Milhuff and I have been close friends for all of our lives. We grew up together in the city of Chicago, attended college together, came to seminary at the same time. And one of our dearest friends as a boy, somewhere along the line, made a choice. He said, I will not go God's way. I have other plans. He made his choice. And while we were struggling through college and struggling through the seminary experience and struggling through the early years of ministry, our friend was flying high, wide, and handsome. He has made it so big that this week I heard that when he wants entertainment, he hires a band to come into his home and entertain. He has so much money, he doesn't know what to do. A couple of times, Chuck has seen him when he has been in his city holding revival services. But our friend hasn't been buying any. Until 3 o'clock in the morning, one day this week. And he called Chuck and asked Chuck to call me to pray. He said, you and Paul have gone God's way. And it's been good. But I've gone with the devil and his crowd. And I'm living in hell on desperate, has lost his family, still his pockets filled with money, a mockery to him. For though he has all the money that he can possibly spend, there's nothing left to buy. And he has a heart full of emptiness. What happened years ago in a service like this? Our friend made a choice. He said, I'll go my own way. I'll chart my own course. And it'll be great. And for a while it was, but as is always the case, when you chart your life's course without God, eventually, somewhere along the line, you will know heartache and heartbreak. The emptiness, the loneliness that only those who are godless really know. The whole thrust of what we have to share with you is the fact you don't have to live that way. You don't have to know a life of heartbreak and a life of regrets. You can know the peace that passeth understanding by choosing this day the same God that Joshua chose, and decide that as for you and for yours, you will serve the Lord. Will you stand with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'd like us to sing tonight before we go that little chorus. He is my everything. Because that's the choice you have to make. Unless you're willing to make the choice that makes God everything in your life, you've missed it. You've missed it. But tonight God is here and God is giving you the loving invitation to spare you from heartache and heartbreak, to make the choice crystal clear, to make the choice you'll wish you'd made 1,000 years from now, quietly and prayerfully. We're going to sing that song after we've prayed. And if God is speaking to your heart, will you come? Come to the place of prayer and let Him meet your need. Dear God, we all think we're very clever. We all think we'll beat the game of life. You can't beat it. You have to win it. And the only way to win it is with Jesus. Oh, tonight it could be, as we continue to try to get ready for revival, there might be someone here who says, I've waited long enough. I've hesitated to make the choice that will take me through the gates of heaven. I want to do it tonight. God, if there's anyone like that, will you give them the strength, the direction to step out and come to the place of prayer? In thy precious name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's sing that little chorus together. You come if God invites you to tonight.
He is my everything. He is my all.
Yes.
He is my everything.
I think that most everybody figures that someday they'll be a Christian. But before you know it, the years have come and gone, and your someday has never happened. Why don't you let someday be this day and choose you this day whom you will serve? Join this one who has already come tonight. And let God meet your deepest heart need. He wants to do it. He's promised He will do it. If you'll let Him. Will you come as we sing it again? Just come. Just come.
He is my everything. He
Yes. How about you too, friend? Why don't you come too?
He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me. Amen.
Father, we're thankful for these who have come. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to see people making a choice forever. We're grateful for those who knelt at the altar this morning, made their choice. But oh, we feel that just maybe in this service, trying to get ready for revival, maybe there is someone else, some man, some woman, some young person. You really feel that God is speaking to your heart. You don't want to leave until you've come and made it right. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be the testimony on the lips of all who are here this night. Help us. In thy name we pray.